In the name of the Triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we will continue these radio services, and I will read for the introduction of this sermon from First John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of the life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and shew unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. In the song that we sang, our fathers believed before us. We preach as our fathers also preached. We also, dear children of God, wish to believe and travel the same way which our dear Savior also traveled. He showed us the way of life unto heaven, unto everlasting life. We heard from this gospel text, and now John writes the epistle. And in this first epistle, where I read from, and which we will stop to examine. The text began with, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." It has not appeared unto us but I thought to go to the Catechism of Luther, but as we heard the doctrine of the previous from the previous minister of the most important matter in our lives, to know God and our Savior Jesus Christ. And becoming children of God is the most important matter. Such a great matter is in question that John wished to stop at this thought. As Luther then read the epistles of John, we can say with quite certainty that he has. When John wrote this letter, he was in distress. He he was in distress of those messages which he had heard. They were these messages were that onto the in the midst of the believers were false prophets who were urging to follow the law. You understand, dear brothers and sisters, what this means, that man becomes is saved only by following the laws of Moses. The second source of distress for John was that into the midst of the believers had slipped the spirit of the Antichrist. I thought of you youngest children of God, young boys and girls, that it is the spirit of denying of God. That is there even a God who controls this, his creation and the universe. We believers understand how dangerous these matters were. We know that the false spirit is wily and is against the doctrine of righteousness. He is always teaching against it. And this is one reason why in the kingdom of God, day after day, we stop and think of this, how dangerous it is to think of matters of faith with our temporal minds. Even for this reason, especially, it is good for us children of God to gather again and again in services to hear how God wishes to reveal unto you and me, all of us. I thought to refer to the chapter, the book of Romans, when I listened to the sermons yesterday. I noticed that this Romans, book of Romans, was talked of often. And here I have, I will read one portion from there. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. I do not wish to repeat this again, for this teaching of the Roman of the book of Romans came yesterday so lovingly. But as we read, by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But this preaching preaching of the forgiveness of sins has been from the beginning of time and will be preached unto the end of time. It is through the love of God, love and grace of God, and it is a miraculous thing that each one of us can daily receive this as a gift of faith, that we can battle as children of God. This battle is constant, is it not, dear brothers and sisters? Can it be said in this way? Each day, as it is said in a song, is a new day of grace. And why is it this way? So that we would be kept as children of God, believing for the Bible teaches us without it we cannot be close to God. But he who believes this gospel which is preached unto the forgiveness of his own sins, he receives the gift of the Holy Spirit. This Holy Spirit is given as a gift of faith. It teaches us to battle together with the children of God. This is also an important matter, according to the Bible, that we would have a unified mind in Christ. It has been said, "Oh, he who has fallen, who can help him?" Dear brothers and sisters, you experience, as I have, how great it is to be here, how safe, and we are rejoiced when we meet old friends. We receive messages from the children of God, encouraging messages. The Bible says in this way, the kingdom of God kingdom of God is as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Jesus, as the Son of God, was not accepted in this world. You remember this, all of you, how this was made concrete. He suffered death on the cross for all our sins, for yours and mine, so that we as believers can gather at these summer services. The weather is good. But Jesus rose from the dead on the third day for our righteousness. It is a miraculous thing. This is how Jesus has done things, so that we are kept as children of God. When we believe our sins forgiven in the gospel, it is a precious matter that Jesus has set the authority to preach sins forgiven in Jesus' name and precious atonement blood. In this way, the Heavenly Father takes care of us and our lives of faith. Is it not our prayer, dear children of God, that we would be preserved in this faith, in the only true faith, and on this journey we receive all our sins forgiven each day and moment. In these services we have heard this precious gospel. Think, dear brothers and sisters, if we did not have this gospel as a gift from the Heavenly Father, how would we fare? Not well. But God has given us this authority to preach in His kingdom. I will read a short portion. I cannot find this text. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear that what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. In the Gospel of John, we can read how Jesus spoke to Martha. Martha's brother Lazarus had died. And I do not remember exactly how the discussion went. But in the end, I wish to read this last verse. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. I would like to take another portion of the Bible where Jesus washed the feet of the disciples. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Was Peter not in distress? Imagine if we were told in this way in the kingdom of God, as Jesus said to Peter. Peter then says, Not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus then said unto Peter, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. Dear brothers and sisters, do we not experience this? As this example of Peter, sorrow, sinfulness, and because of our flesh, our Redeemer wishes us to console us today. For this reason, I wish to say, uplift all children of God, from the young to the old, believe all sins, doubts, forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. In Jesus' name and blood, all sins are forgiven. When our sins are forgiven, we will reach our heavenly home. I wish to say in the end here the words of a hymn of Zion. But in heaven, I will rejoice more when our trials are ended. Be praised, dear Heavenly Father. I ask for my own part, can I believe my sins forgiven? I wish to, together with you, believe in this way. We will quieten in the Lord's benediction. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.